I did not consider how that these two things were going to tie together, but the Lord obviously had. And so what's going to happen right now is, I didn't mean to if I did. Hey, I hit it. What's going to happen is that now you're going to be presented with an opportunity. I'm going to present you with a thought here. And for some of you, it would represent change. Some of you would have to consider this today, just like what I just preached, and then literally make a change in your life. But I believe if some of you would do this, it'll help you. Now, I'm going to talk it'll be a little sensitive. Have we got anybody in here that's under 13? Any 12-year-olds in here? 12? Anybody less than 12? Have we got any less than 12s? We're talking about the physical relationship a little bit. I will try not to say the word sexual or sex very much, but I might have to say it once or twice. So I don't know if you want to ask very, very small ones. You want to let them go out or hang out in the lobby or whatever. Shouldn't be anything too bad. But if they watch TV, then this ain't going to be anything at all. I'm not trying to be arrogant there. I like to give you a warning. Sometimes you want this to wait a little bit before they hear this kind of thought. But 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I just want to show you a picture today of how this thing works and how it can hurt you when you didn't ever mean for it to. All right, 1 Corinthians 7, find it, verse 6. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. Now, when he makes that statement, he's talking about this next verse. For I would that all men were even as myself. He's talking about being single there, is what Paul is talking about, if I understand it right. He was a single man, unmarried, and Paul was saying here, he said, if it was possible, I wish all of you could stay single. And his purpose was so that you could just give everything 100% to the work of God. That was his point in that first part. Now, he did say that, by the way. He prefaced that by saying, this is by permission, but not of commandment. In other words, the Bible's not saying it's against God's will for us to get married. We know that's not true. We know the Bible said he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And one of the best things that ever happened to me. So we know he's not saying that. Paul is just, he's so excited about Jesus. And he realizes that when you become a husband, that you then are commanded by God to give a certain amount of attention to that. And no matter how you do it, it does take away from some of what you're able to do on the side of the Lord. It's not against the will of God. The will of God for me right now is to be a good husband as well as do the things of God. And he wants me to do them both. And by the way, you can do both. God didn't call me to pastor and then and assume that meant now I was off the hook from being a good daddy or a good husband. No, there's ways to do it both. So Paul's just kind of saying it'd be best if you could be like me. Let's look at the rest of it. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. He's saying, but I realize that's not the will of God for everybody, is what he's saying. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. Look at this next part. For it is better to marry than to, what's the last word? Burn. Better to marry than to burn. Paul makes a reference there to the physical attraction between a man and a woman and the physical relationship, the touching, the fooling around. He references it as fire. All right? He says, I realize everybody's not going to be called to be like I am. And he said, I realize everybody can't control themselves. And he said, you're better off to get yourself a wife and do it the right way than you are to burn in your flesh. In Romans, it made another reference. It was talking about some extremely wicked people, but it was talking about lust, and it said they burned in their lust. And so the Bible makes reference to the physical relationship and the physical attraction, and that deal between a man and a woman or a boy and a girl, it calls it a fire. Do y'all know what it means to blush? It's not something people do much anymore, to be honest with you. But when you get embarrassed sometimes, you blush. And what happens to your face when you blush? Anybody know? What does it do? It turns red. And you know what else? You get hot. Because that's blood flowing up to your face. And that's a physical response to that embarrassment that you're feeling. The emotional response triggers a physical response. And in your body, things start happening. And literally, your face gets flushed and you get hot. Well, that's the same thing that happens in our bodies in the realm of liking girls and getting around girls and touching girls and things like that. That's why the Bible says, our King James Bible is exactly right. And no word is in there by accident. He didn't accidentally say, it's better to marry than to burn. No, it wasn't an accident. He understood what he was talking about. God, the Father, understood how He made these bodies, and He said, it's a fire. I've put in them a fire, and that lust, that attraction for the other side, and boy, especially when you take the step of starting to touch, He said, it sets a fire inside of a person. And so you need to understand that to begin with while we turn over to Proverbs chapter 6 now. So what did God teach us here? And there's other verses, just for time's sake. We don't have time to go through them all, but from those verses we looked at, what does God say that the lusting and the physical relationship between a man and a woman, what is it like? Say it. Fire. Everybody say it. It's like fire. And it is. There's all kind of messages you can preach about that, but I want to show you a particular attribute of it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Boy, Solomon had a lot to say. My little daughter, she's 8, and I've got, somebody gave me a book, a little book of the Proverbs. It looks like a New Testament, but it only has Proverbs in it. And I was trying to come up with some ways. We do devotions with them at night, but I've been praying about her now getting her own relationship with the Lord and trying to find some way to get her to want to read in her own Bible. And somebody gave me this little Proverbs, and I thought, now, I'm going to use that. And so I gave her this book, and I said, Carson, I said, it's a small book. You can read just 2 pages each day, just this side and that side. We got her a bookmark. I said, you mark it. And I thought to myself, too, what a blessing she's reading the Proverbs. I mean, that's the wisdom. So she'll read it through, and every now and then I'll say, did you read anything interesting in there tonight? And you know, some of it you don't understand. Some of the Proverbs, I still don't understand a lot of it. So I don't expect her to understand everything. But at night I'll say, honey, did you read anything that's kind of neat? And she has trouble still sometimes sleeping. She'll get a little scared in the middle of the night and want to come to our bed. One night, I praise the Lord for this. The Lord was speaking to her. One night I said, hey, did you read anything neat? And she said, I knew you was going to ask me that. I said, what is it? And it had a proverb in there. It said something like this. What time I am asleep, I will not be afraid, or something like that. And when she had read that, the Lord spoke to her heart. She thought, oh, I hope Daddy don't ask me tonight if I read something. Because we kind of fussing at her. Hey, you're getting old enough. You don't need to get up in the middle of the night and come to us. If you wake up, just go back to sleep. Because she says she's afraid. And the Lord had spoken to her out of that proverb about that. That was a blessing. Another night I said something to her. In the middle of her reading, I'll do devotions with my little boy, kind of separate from her now. And she's reading that. And one night she said, it sure says a lot to boys in here. Just reading one of these proverbs where Solomon was laying it out for us. And that's kind of the one you're looking at here in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Look at this. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Look at this now, young men. To keep thee from the evil woman. Let me just say something. Make sure I saw some ladies standing back. Are there any ladies? Some women are wicked. Let me just tell you all that. There's some evil women out there. And it, look what it says. He's trying to keep us from the evil woman and from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Let me tell you something, guys. A woman can set your fire aflame just by talking to you. And by the way, there are wicked women out there that the devil has planted in your life for the sole purpose of causing you problems in this area. And the devil knows all she's got to do. Let's read on. And boy, he describes her perfect here. Verse 25. Lust not after her beauty. By the way, they are beautiful. That's why, and God made them that way, so we would like them. And if you like boys, you're weird. All right? That ain't right. It's a sin, by the way. It says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. So not only can she talk to you, but her body language. You know, on the old cartoons, if they ever had an old cartoon and you had one little animal and it was the boy, and then a girl come along, of course, she always had the big red lips. What did they always do in the boy's direction on them old cartoons? They'd bat them eyes. Somebody had read the Bible, by the way. They'd bat those eyes at him, and then that boy just kind of melts and starts floating, you know, along behind her. And boy, that looks so silly. It looks even more silly when you do it, by the way, and when we do it. And my wife can still do it. We've been married 15 years, and she is still hot and looks good. Praise God for it. I pray, by the way, I pray, you that are married, I pray that God keeps us physically attracted to each other. I pray it. What I'm talking to you about today, this fire, I pray that He keeps the fire between us. Yeah. See, I'm getting bald. I'm gaining weight. I'm getting older. She still looks like she did when we got married. I'm thinking, how is she going to keep liking me as I get uglier and she stays pretty? You know how? I'm asking God to trick her. And he can do it, by the way. He can do it. I'm asking, but you young people, you know what she'll do? She'll start talking to you, and then she starts batting those eyes, and man, before long, there is a fire inside of you. It'll make you do some of the dumbest things. It'll make you turn on people that have been good to you. Hey, listen, she can say something and bat her eyes, and you'll beat your best friend to death. Isn't that right? Have you ever seen good buddies? I mean real good buddies. And then one of these heifers come along, and yeah, that's not in your King James. It's in a commentary somewhere, I'd say. That strange woman's heifer, praise God. She comes along, and before long, you've got your two best buddies. They hate each other. And you know why that is? Because, man, it does something inside of us, and it's called a fire. It says, look at this now, verse 26, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread." You know what that means? It means there's been a lot of men who are good men, who are married men, had a lot of things in life. One of these women came into their life and started saying stuff, and they began to listen, and she started batting her eyes, and she was beautiful, and he got caught up in that, and it cost him everything. There are many a man who has gone through a divorce, and he's lost financially almost everything, and he's lost his own children, and he's lost his family, and now he don't even usually end up with the woman either, by the way. He ends up looking around, and he said, I'm brought to a piece of bread. I got nothing in my life. All because that strange woman, he set a fire inside of me, and I started messing around with it. And the next verse, let's finish verse 26. It says, and the adulteress will hunt. By the way, you don't just stumble across them. Some of them are hunting. Some of them, the devil's got them hunting for you. Some of them, just like boys are wicked. By the way, you boys are wicked too. And there are boys out there that like to find good, clean girls and mess them up. Hey, it works the other way too. There's some wicked girls out there that like to get their hands on a good young man and just to say that they could ruin him. Happens. Look at the next verse, though. Here it is. Can a man take fire in his bosom? What did the New Testament tell us this physical relationship was? Fire. Messing around, lusting, looking, touching, it's fire. This verse says, can a man take fire in his bosom? And by the way, the context here is the physical relationship with a wicked woman. The context. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? The answer to that question is no. You cannot. By the way, the answer is not most of the time or sometimes. The answer is no. You cannot take fire into your bosom and your clothes not be burned. You can't do it. If that was real fire and I went over and started getting up close to it, hey, if I take it into my bosom, I'll get burned. The clothes get burned. Not most of the time, every time. Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? No. Can a young man mess around with this fleshly fire and it not eventually burn him? No. You say, well, preacher, hold on just a minute. You just said a while ago they're pretty and God made them that way. And He made them that way so that we would like them, and all that's true. And listen, and I believe for most people it's the will of God that they get a wife and get married. That's true. And you know what? Even the physical relationship between a man and a woman, God blessed that in marriage. It's for marriage and it's a wonderful thing and it's all good. You say, well, how in the world do you get to have all of that and not disagree with this verse? Because this verse is saying some woman you're not supposed to be having. Well, that means, one, if I'm married, then any other woman's off limits. And if I try to take fire to my bosom, if I even just let her start talking to me in that way, and I just talk, well, I didn't do anything, I'll just talk. Hey, just the talking starts the fire. And I can't take that fire in my bosom and not get burned. But that also means not just married people with other ladies they're not married to, it's unmarried. You say, who's the unmarried not supposed to mess around with? None of them. You say, well, what's the answer? Go back to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, let's give you the answer, and then I'm going to show you an illustration. We'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Can a man take fire? No, you cannot, young men. And by the way, while you're turning 1 Corinthians 7, let me say this. It has nothing to do with whether or not you're a good boy. I believe most of you are good boys. It has nothing to do with whether or not she's a good girl. I have seen it many, many times that it is a good boy and a good girl. And by the way, just because they mess up in this realm doesn't mean they were not trying to do right. It doesn't mean they were hypocrites in everything they did. I'll tell you what it means. It means they got tricked by the devil most of the time. Most of them were trying to do right, and they started just messing around with a little bit, and that's what I'm going to show you in a minute. And they didn't understand Proverbs 6 says, if you play with that fire, it does burn you. And sadly, a lot of them were never told what you're being told today. I was never told. I was never preached to like what I'm telling you today when I was growing up. Where I grew up, people did smooch, they called it. And I've even went home and preached some of this stuff at churches back where I grew up and have the adults mock me later and say, ah, you're silly. We all smooch. What's crazy, the ones saying that also fooled around and had sex before they got married. I preached something like this one night, and there was two girls in the congregation expecting babies before they were married, and the adults still acted like I was silly. And I'm thinking, open your eyes. You wouldn't have those girls sitting there if they'd have been told this, and they would have listened. But now listen, guys. Some of you have been told some of this, but today your heart has been softened by this other message, and the Holy Spirit has touched you, and you want to go and do right. Well, I'm going to tell you, some of you need to consider what I'm saying today, and you need to make a new choice today and change your ways on this area. You say, well, what's the answer, preacher? How do we keep from getting burned in this? You're not going to like it. Be honest with you, I probably wouldn't have liked it if somebody would have come and told me when I was young, but I wish they would have started real young and trained me in this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he gives the answer. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to what? Touch a woman. Obviously, they had written to Paul and asked his opinion on some of this. He says, all right, concerning that thing you wrote to me, let me just go ahead first of all and tell you the answer. Stop touching each other before you're married. Then he goes on to say what we read a while ago. He goes on to say it'd be best if you just wouldn't get married, you'd give your life to God. He said, but I know that's not going to happen for everybody. He says, so before you burn, before you start touching, go get married. Now, by the way, that don't mean if you're 16 in here and you got a girlfriend and you really, 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 really want to touch her, that don't mean go home and get married to her. Now you're just making another horrible mistake and you're going to get your life truly in a wreck. You say, well, what does it mean then? It means that starting today, you make a new life change that you are not going to touch girls. Not touch. Now this is, I know this is not popular and you... And some of you, you know, when I do this stuff at our place, brother, I have to sadly look at them and say, I did. But you know what else? I did stuff I wish I hadn't done because I did this little stuff. And that would be the testimony of most men in here. You say, well, how come it has to be so blatant? How come we can't hold hands? I'm going to show you right now. What did I say it was like? A what? A fire. And it is. And here's how it goes. Watch this. The message, if it had a title, would be The Progression of the Fire. The reason that you can't take fire into your bosom and not get burned is because the fire progresses. Here's the way it works. The first time, and for some people, sadly, it was very young. The first time that you have a girl that you actually are attracted to that you think likes you, and maybe you're even sitting in church together, never touched in any way, shape, or form, and the first time, and maybe it was even an accident, quote unquote, the first time. Let's say you just lean over and put your hand down and her hand was there. The first time you ever touch hands like that, and then you look to see if it was all right with her, and she kind of gives you the nod like it is, and y'all hold hands. Now, to some of us that are married, holding hands just ain't really that big of a deal. You know why? Because we're men. And men like the fire. And now we have permission of God to go to where the fire is. And so we just... Have you young people ever noticed you don't see a lot of people that have been married 10, 15, 20 years just walk around holding hands like they did when they first started dating? And if you do see a couple holding hands, it's almost always the wife's idea. Now some of you men, if you've got enough sense, we'll do it on purpose now. But you know good and well, it don't do for us what it did the first time we touched a hand. The first time you ever touched the hand of a girl and held it that you actually liked and she actually liked you, you'd never kissed, you'd never done any of that other stuff, it felt like electricity between your hands. You know what it is, don't you? It's fire. It is. Right. I know a preacher that fell into sin, cheated on his wife, had immoral relationships with another lady. You know what his testimony was? He said, I was counseling, and he said this lady was having marital problems, and then one day she started coming in without her husband, and we were counseling, and here's what he said. He said, and she reached across the table and touched my hand. He said, and it felt like fire up my arm. Now, he had a wife. You know what? Him and his wife probably touched hands, but it didn't feel the same anymore because they had done way more than that together. What happens is the fire dies out. And so, here's what happens. You have a young couple. They started holding hands. We're not going to do anything else. We've heard the preachers preach. We're not going to do anything else. We're just going to hold hands. There's nothing wrong with holding hands. Everybody held hands. hold hands, and the first time you do, it's like, oh. I mean, your little foot, you're like Thumper, your little foot's patting over on the floor. Then the next time you're together, you hold hands again, and it's still, whoo! See, some of you think that's silly right now. You know why? Because you went well past it. That in itself should prove to you I'm right, because holding hands doesn't do anything for you anymore. But you take a little 10 or 11-year-old boy that never has held hands and watch his little face when he's holding hands. The reason it doesn't do anything for you is because you've already passed that and there is no fire in it anymore. Because that's what I'm trying to teach you today. The fire dies out. So the little boy holds hands with her three or four times and then just ain't the same thrill. And so now you've fed it. You brought it into your bosom. And your flesh starts saying, well, maybe I can put my arm around. You know, you try that. You're not sure. Hopefully she's got enough godliness about her to elbow you in the ribs real hard. But maybe she don't. Here's what happens. You get one and she just kind of leans in like she's okay with it. You know what? That feeling you felt the first time y'all held hands, that fire feeling, it just came back. Okay, this is where it's at. This is what. And by the way, you're sitting there thinking, well, what's wrong with that? And you know what? You know, we could draw lines and we could debate it. Well, first of all, what's wrong with it is 1 Corinthians 7:1 said don't touch. But the reason he said don't touch is because he knows you can't start touching and stop. Because he's read Proverbs where it says, can you take fire in your bosom and not be burned? The answer is, no, you cannot. So you got your arm around her. She's leaned in. And now we do that every time we're together. And it's just like fire again. It's whew. But now, if you're a Christian, you're sitting there having this battle in your mind, but we're not going to do anything else. We're not going to go any further than this. This is so good. This is good enough right here. We'll just hug. We won't even hug, really. I'll just put my arm around her, and we'll do that till we get married. By the way, let me just say to you, there are still some people that do this. Brother Eddie's daughter, I believe, did this. I believe Brother Jenkins' son did this, not touching till they got married. It can still be done. Hey, listen, a few years ago, I did the wedding of a young lady who had done right. She had never kissed a boy, and it was such a blessing that you could tell she was nervous about how to kiss. You know what I told that boy? Now that boy had been wicked and God had given him a jewel. And I said, buddy, I want to tell you something. There may be some things she don't understand about all this physical relationship that you understand. I said, and if that gets you frustrated, you are a sorry dog. I said, what you need to realize is you got a jewel. I said, if she had been a harlot her whole life, she wouldn't have any trouble kissing or laying down or none of that. She'd know exactly how to do it. I said, but you got a jewel. You know what a blessing it was to me as a pastor to see a girl kind of awkwardly kissing her husband? I was about to shout. Most of them know all too well how to do it.
Yes, sir.
So here you start putting your arm around her, and man, that fire comes back, and you're like, woo, that feels so good, and this is all we're going to do. We're never going to go any farther. The problem with that is you've brought fire into your bosom, and a man can't take fire into his bosom and not get burned. And here's what happens. You put your arm around her, and then pretty soon, guess what? That's no big deal either now. We've done that so many times. She leans up on me. It just don't do as much for me as it used to. So we take a next progression. Right before she leaves, that next time, you want to hug her. Front to front, we're just going to hug. You know what? The first time you ever do that with a girl that you like, a girl that you actually have physical attraction toward, there's something there. Fire comes back. Well, preacher, now there ain't nothing wrong with hugging. Well, we could debate that if you wanted to, even though Chapter 7, verse 1 says, don't touch. It's pretty hard to hug without touching. We could air hug, I guess. So you hug front to front the first time, and her body presses up against your body, and you know what happens? Fire comes back, and you think, okay, that's what I was looking for, that feeling. That first time I touched her hand, that's what I felt, but that's faded out. So the first time I put my arm around her, that's what I felt, but that's faded out. And so it progresses, and now we've hugged front to front, and there it is. But, preacher, we're not going any farther. And by the way, I'm not saying, this is not bad people. This is men. It's all of us. It's all of us. Solomon was the smartest man in the world. He got messed up with ladies. Samson was the strongest man. He messed up with ladies. David was the spiritual man. He messed up with ladies. You know what David did? He looked over and saw her taking a bath, and the fire kicked on inside of him, and he lost his mind. Go get her. Well, she's got a good husband. He's one of your best friends. He's a mighty man. Doesn't matter. Bring her here. She's pregnant. All right, we got to do something. Bring him home. Uriah was a man of character, wouldn't even go into his wife. He said, then we got to kill him. My goodness, how could a man do all that? I'll tell you how come. Fire was raging in him. He brought fire into his bosom, and it burned him. And it can happen to you. And I'm not saying you're a bad kid. I'm saying you're a good kid. And the devil would love to mess you up. And one of the ways is you think we're silly when we say don't even touch. But I'm telling you, the reason we say don't even touch is because we've had the fire burn us, a lot of us.
Yep. Right.
And we want to see you make it and make it clean.
Yes.
And you got to realize the fire dies out and you progress to the hug. And you know what? That thing feels so good, but it doesn't feel good forever. The fire dies out on that, and so we finally get to it. That first kiss, probably on the cheek. Now, I'm going to tell you again, I didn't get taught this, and probably I might not would have listened, but I remember the first time me and my wife kissed, I kissed her on the temple. We wasn't married. I wish I could say we was. But like I told you, where I grew up, everybody kisses. They also mess up. And I remember when I kissed her on the temple. I was older. I'm telling you, it felt like that right there. It felt like my head was going to blow off. I was in love. She could have said anything right then. I would have done it. She could have said, eat this chair. I'd have swallowed that chair whole. I'd have had recliners sticking out of my mouth. She could have done it. She was in charge right then. Lord, help us. I'm thinking about it right now. I wish she was here right now. Help us. Some of you husbands are going to go out here. Come here, honey. Good Lord. Give me a kiss. By the way, husbands, you should feel like that. And if it ain't like that in your house, you need to start praying it gets back like that, because the devil will have some heifer brush up against you, and that fire will be set on you, and you're not above messing up, neither am I. So you kiss on the cheek, and you think, well, there ain't nothing too bad about that, and boy, the first time, hey, and the first time she kisses you on the cheek, and you realize this good-looking girl likes me. First of all, if you boys get a good-looking girl that likes you, I don't blame, the fire's definitely going to be on, because you are not pretty, most of you. He kisses you on the cheek, and soon, man, you are set aflame. You're thinking, now this ain't too bad. We haven't done anything. We haven't, you know. That's all we're going to do. That's where we're going to draw the line. We're not going to go any farther. And I believe you mean that, by the way. I'm telling you, you're not the first person that's ever done something wrong and then said to each other, we're never going to do that again. We're still going to kiss and do some other things, but we're never going to do that again. Every one of the people just about would say they did that again. Because you can't take the fire in your bosom and not get burned. Because she kisses you on the cheek and you're kissing her on the cheek, but that's all we're going to do. And man, that was good enough. I don't know why husbands and wives don't do that. It's so wonderful. You just do it, and then you do it again, do it again, do it again. Guess what happens to the kiss on the cheek? Just not as big a deal as it was the first time. The progression of the fire is that it fades away, and so you have to take another step. And you know, there's a lot of young people, and right now you're sitting there and you think, I'll tell you this, I know where you're going, preacher, but I would never do that. I know where you're going to end up, preacher, but I would never go where you're going. I don't agree with you on the touching. I don't think there's anything wrong with holding hands or hugging and all that, but I would never do what you're saying. You won't be the first person that ever does anything they said they'd never do. Kisses you on the cheek a few times, you kiss her on the cheek a few times, that dies out. So you know what's next. That first real, passionate kiss on the mouth. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's like a volcano. First time. I mean, you shouldn't drive a car right after that. It's that powerful. Men, that first time, and it's a woman you're interested in, isn't it like that? I'm telling you. It's, you know what it is? Now, God made you that way. You know why? Because He wants that wedding night to be like that for you. He wants that wedding night to be unbelievably wonderful, and it can be. You know what's sad for a lot of young people? Their wedding night is no big deal because they've already been there. And it's no different than the weekend before, except she wore a fancy dress today. It's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be monumental, and it can be if you'll just make a change today, some of you. You know what, I'm sad to say for some of you, it's going to be tough because you've already fed your flesh some, but I'm telling you, you can do that too. Got a young couple in my church. He'd been a good girl. He'd kind of been wild. They started dating. He got right with God, got called to preach everything. They started dating, and they kissed right after they started dating. Then they got under conviction. They said, let's don't do it again. They made it. You know what? They had to make some rules. They would be even at her mom and dad's house. They were sitting there in the living room, and she sat on the couch beside him. And you know what he said? He said, you need to sit on the other chair. See, he had fed his flesh before, And he was on fire for this girl. I mean, they were living for God. They was wanting to get married. And he knew himself. And he said, you just probably ought to sit over there. Praise the Lord for that. He understood. And you know what? They got to go to the altar pure. I got to say it. And I do say it. I make a point. If I know I've got a pure girl or a pure boy or both, I make a huge deal out of it because I want them other young people to hear it. So even if you've already done some of this stuff, you need to get the courage today to make this change in your life. And if you've got a girlfriend and you go to her and say, we're not going to touch you anymore, and she shows you any kind of resistance, then she's out. And to be honest with you, if you've got a girlfriend and y'all have done quite a bit, you probably won't be able to stop with her because y'all have got too much history. You probably have to break up with her.
Yep.
But if you're serious about some of that stuff you come and said to God, you'd be willing to make that kind of change because your loyalty is to Him and not to her.
Okay. And
not even to your own flesh. So we get to that on the mouth kissing the first time, and it's like a fire. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to tell you something. Even that can't fade. And again, I'm trying to be, not ridiculous. You talk to some of these husbands and wives have been married a long time, and sadly, you'll have some wives that say stuff like this. He don't really enjoy kissing like he did before we were married. I'm not obviously going to have to own up to this, but if you'll ask, you would ask, and I know you can't, but if you would ask, you would find some of that. You know why? Because men want to go on to where the fire is. Now we have God's permission, so that's where men typically go if we don't make ourselves do some of the things the ladies like. And they like touching hands. They like holding hands. See, a lady's different than a man. She likes you talking sweet to her. That sets her on fire. She likes you want to hold her public. That sets her on fire. But men, we're built different. And that fire fades out on those things. We keep going. We keep taking steps. And that's what you'll do before you're married. You can even start kissing and say, but that's all we're going to do, preacher. I won't never touch her nowhere. I won't never. No, I'm telling you, you will. Are you telling me it's impossible? I'm telling you, probably. I don't hardly know anybody that started really kissing at a young age that didn't do something they shouldn't have done. Now, first of all, we're saying today they shouldn't have done the kissing. But even if we said, okay, let's say that's not wrong, I don't know anybody that started kissing in their teenage years and stayed with the same person, kept kissing and kissing and kissing, that didn't touch her somewhere or do something else they shouldn't have done. You know why? Because the fire fades. It is a fire, and it fades. You've got to find it again, and so you try the next thing. You do put your hands where you shouldn't. Sadly, y'all know where we end up. I'm going to tell you something else. Amnon was like this. He is burning in his heart. And you know what he found out? Even when he went all the way after it, he was like, he hated her more than he loved her before. You know why? Because after you get it, that fire and that can die. You say, I don't know about that. That's how come people get other baits. The fire fizzles over here, and all of a sudden somebody else comes along and brushes up against them, and the rebelliousness of that wickedness kicks the fire back up like they hadn't felt over here in a long time, and they go out and try it with another one. That's why the Hollywood crowd can't stay married. They get fire with one, and after you do something long enough, the fire dies in anything. So you go somewhere else, oh, fire, this is the one forever. Yeah, forever, 2 years. You know what'll happen? If you start touching, you think we're crazy. You'll keep progressing till one day you find yourself saying, I didn't think I'd ever. Good picture of it, last thing, a good picture of it is prophets of Baal. They were having their battle with Elijah. The prophets of Baal, they came to that meeting that day. They thought, we'll cry out to our God a little bit, then we'll be satisfied. He'll do it, we'll have satisfaction. He'll send the fire, and then that'll be satisfied. Now, if you would have asked them that morning, how do you think today's going to go? They never would have guessed it would end up the way it ended up for them. You know what happened? They started out by just calling out. The Bible says they called out, oh, Baal. Oh, Baal. Maybe they were kneeling around. Oh, Baal. Come on now, Baal. Show them your God. They did that for a while. Found out that there wasn't no satisfaction. Elijah makes fun of them a little bit, which I kind of enjoy that. What's the matter? Is he sleeping? Where's your God, guys? He starts talking a little trash to them. So they leap up on the altar. Now they're standing up on the altar. Bloody sacrifice. Oh, Baal, oh, Baal. They're praying up on the altar. Then that doesn't work. No satisfaction. So then they begin to cry out aloud. Now they're standing up on the altar. Baal! Baal! Guess what? They finish with that. No satisfaction. The Bible says they start cutting themselves with lances and stones, and the blood gushed out. Can you imagine walking up on that scene? You got men walking around on this altar, screaming in front of everybody, cutting themselves in the blood flow. Oh, Baal! Oh, Baal! Oh, Baal, please! And still no satisfaction. If you could stop one of them and say, can I ask you a question? When you came today, did you ever imagine you'd be doing this? How did you end up standing on top of an altar, screaming, cutting yourself till the blood gushes out? How did you get there? They'd probably look at you and say, no, I never dreamed it would get to this. But I just kept trying stuff, and I never could get satisfied. So I kept trying to try other stuff, and I kept trying more stuff to try to get satisfied. Before it's over, I find myself doing something. I can't even believe it myself. What happens to good Christian young people that start touching? I don't know, is he recording this? Can we pause that? Pause that recording, brother. Somebody, whoever's doing it. 2 minutes. Then say, do you think you never smooched, you never would have done that? I'm not saying be disrespectful to your parents. I'm just saying talk to them. And just say, I don't want to be another one that finds themselves doing something. And by the way, that little girl, he never paid it, but they just was hanging out. And you know what? One of these days, my middle brother, Terry, he leads a youth choir at Mike Gray's church. God's helping him. But he was in the first Desert Storm. And listen, we grew up hating liquor because of what it did to our dad. We hated it. You know what? He came back in, a picture of him in Desert Storm, had a beer in it. You talk to him, he'll say, I can't believe I did. Hey, what happened? You start messing. Fire starts, and if you think it's hard with friends and liquor, none of that is as powerful as the fire we're talking about today. It's the second most powerful emotion you have. Say, what's the first one? Your desire to survive. That boy broke his arm in that boulder. Remember years ago, he broke his own arm and cut it off with a pocket knife in order to survive. That will to live is the strongest urge your body has. The one right after that is this fire. It just, man, it's so consuming. Guys, I mean, I'm done. We're just going to pray. I don't know if you want to, we won't probably do an invitation here. I think it's just kind of something you need to do. But I want you to consider today that Paul knew what he was talking about when he said it's better just not to touch. And by the way, you say, you just don't want us to have any fun. You're crazy. We work hard to make sure you have fun.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be one of these married people that when you come talking to me about marriage, I tell you all the horrible things about it and all the jokes about it, because I love it. And by the way, I love the smooching part of marriage. If she is here today, I'd go kiss her right after this conference, praise God. I love that part. I mean, it's good. When you do things the way God says, they're wonderful. I'm not trying to cheat you. I'm trying to keep you from being another teenager that we go to a conference and use as an illustration. I mean, another good one. I was having this conversation with Brother Eddie. I told him what I was thinking about, and I said, Brother, it's good kids. It's not bad kids. He said that two of his best young people through the year. Two of his best ones. You know what happens? Your good ones hook up with each other because they want a good spouse. So you got a real good girl. We've told them, don't you get a boy that won't live for God. They get hooked up with a real good boy. And both of them start getting tricked by their own flesh and the devil. And they think, well, we're trying to live for God. We can handle this. And we're not going to go that far. We certainly. And they mean it. So they just allow a little bit into their life because they think they're doing all right. We're trying to live for God. We're going to sing. We're doing all those things. And by the way, God even will still bless some of that sometimes, like He did Samson. And then all of a sudden your flesh says, well, God wouldn't be blessing if He is mad at us. Oh, that's just the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. I'm telling you, you keep on, He can resist. He can pull off that blessing. So you better not to start. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Then he says, but it's better to marry than to burn That means one of these days, most of you, you're going to need to get married because you're not going to be like Paul. You're not going to be able to stay single and stay clean. So you know what you need to start doing? Pray that God gives you the right one. Pray that He keeps you, gives you one that will agree with you, that you won't touch each other, so that you can walk to that marriage altar and show a whole other generation of young people that can still be done. And then that night you can go on your honeymoon and it can be unbelievably wonderful. You say, but we're not going to know. It's going to be weird if we don't even know how to kiss. Oh, it'll be fun learning. Yeah. Wouldn't that be better? Wouldn't that be better than having some harlot show you how everybody else in the city taught her how to do it? God's way's best.